Let me read this from Elam's notes. Elam wrote, "All depends upon the resurrection of Jesus. On this rests the whole Christian system. If he be not the Son of God, he was an impostor and a blasphemer, as the Jews charged. But if he rose from the dead, he is all he claimed to be. The Jews took every necessary precaution to prevent any imposture here, but God overruled this persecution and precaution to subserve the cause of Christ and to furnish the fullest possible evidence of his resurrection. But did he rise? Study history. Examine and weigh the testimony concerning numerous historic events, and see if any fact can be found in the history of mankind that is proved by fuller testimony and better evidence than the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus is the crowning argument in favor of his divine sonship. He was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. The chief point in all the apostles' preaching is to prove that Jesus of Nazareth, whom the Jews crucified, arose from the dead and is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And all this, all must believe in order to be saved. Well, here is our school bell. And welcome to the Warren County Radio Bible School. And this is a most interesting study that we're in on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And in studying the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we're looking at a Sunday school lesson that is called Our Lord's Resurrection, that was written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of March the 15th, 1925. And now we're going to go into the explanatory notes for this lesson. You see, in every Sunday school lesson, there is a lesson text and then explanatory notes on that text. The lesson text is John chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. And the first verse of that, John chapter 20 and verse 1 says, "Now on the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, while it was yet dark, unto the tomb, and seeth the stone taken away from the tomb." The explanatory notes are about Mary Magdalene and the other women who visit the tomb. John mentions Mary only of the women who visited the tomb of Jesus on that memorial day of the week, because she was the one who ran back to inform himself and Peter of the empty tomb, and the one about whom he wished to write. The other writers mentioned the other women who were with Mary Magdalene, namely Mary, the mother of James and Joses, Mark chapter 15, verses 40 and 16, verse 1, Salome, Joanna, and others, Luke 24 and verse 10. They followed the body of Jesus to the tomb, and in their great love for him set over against the sepulcher, while Joseph and Nicodemus buried him. They returned and prepared spices and ointment on the Sabbath day. They rested according to the commandment, Luke 23:56. Jesus kept the Sabbath in the grave, and his disciples would not break it even to anoint his body. Mark chapter 16 and verse 1 says, "They brought spices that they might come and anoint him." Every preparation was made for an early start on Sunday morning, the first day of the week. Matthew 28 in verse 1 says, Now late on the Sabbath day, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Mark 16, verse 1 and 2 says, when the Sabbath was past, very early on the first day of the week, they come to the tomb when the sun was risen. This verse of our lesson says, early, while it was yet dark, they started early and reached the tomb at sunrise. They went probably from Jerusalem or Bethany. All this shows that they were not expecting him to rise from the dead and strengthens the evidence that he did rise. The women were not aware of the guard at the ceiling of the tomb by the Jewish rulers, and the great concern was, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb? This stone, according to Mark 16, 3 and 4, was exceeding great. God overcame this difficulty by causing an earthquake and sending an angel to remove the stone. In John chapter 20 and verse 2, we read that Mary Magdalene, it says, she runneth therefore and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we know not where they have laid him. At the first sight of the empty tomb, Mary ran back to report to Peter and John that the Lord's body had been removed, and these women knew not where to find it. Mary's expression, we know not where they have laid him, shows that others were there with her. While she was gone, the angels appeared to the other women. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 8. And so we read about Peter and John coming to the tomb. John 20, verses 3 through 10. Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple, and they went toward the tomb, and they ran both together. And the other disciple outran Peter and came first to the tomb. And stooping and looking in, he seeth the linen cloth lying, yet enter he not in. Simon Peter therefore also cometh, following him, and entered into the tomb. And he beholdeth the linen cloths lying, and the napkin that was upon his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then entered in therefore the other disciple also, who came first to the tomb. And he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again unto their own home. Going back to Elam's notes, we read, Peter and John were greatly concerned over the fact stated by Mary, and hastened with all speed to the place. John outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Stooping down, he looked in and saw the linen clothes in which Jesus had been buried lying empty in the tomb. Yet entered he not in. Peter, bolder and more impulsive, passed John, entered at once into the tomb, and found the linen clothes carefully folded and lying in one place, and the head napkin rolled up in a place by itself. John then entered, following Peter's example. Upon him first gleamed the thought that Jesus was risen, for he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Had they understood that he would rise from the dead, they would not have been surprised at what they then beheld. Wrapping the body of Jesus with 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes, the preparation of these women to anoint him, and the great surprise of all at the empty tomb, shows they were not expecting him to rise. The careful placing of the clothes is not insignificant. If the body had been taken from the tomb, the clothes would have been taken too, or would not have been left in such order. Every small detail goes to show that Jesus rose from the dead. The disciples could not have been mistaken or deceived. Had they expected the resurrection, their curiosity would have been at the highest pitch, and all would have been watching and eager to catch the first sight of him. They could not have deceived others, either if they had tried to do so, On the testimony of these witnesses rests the faith of all Christians in Jesus as the crucified and risen Savior. Luke, in Acts 1 and verse 3, declares, "He showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs." Because they did not understand the scripture concerning the resurrection of Jesus, the disciples went away again into their own home. After the crucifixion and burial, the disciples lost hope and went home. All did not leave Jerusalem and vicinity, but stopped with friends at their lodging places. But now we read about how Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. Let me read to you verses, John 20, verses 11 through 16. But Mary was standing without the tomb weeping. So as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she beholdeth two angels in white, sitting one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She said unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." When she had thus said, she turned herself back, and beholdeth Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said unto her, "Mary." She turned herself and said unto him in the Hebrew, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Teacher." Let's now return to Elam's notes. Having gone to Peter and John with a sad story of the removal of the body of Jesus, Mary followed them back to the tomb, but more slowly, and remained to weep in sorrow when all the others had departed. While she wept, she stooped and looked through her tears into the empty tomb, but without hope. This time she saw two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the one at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. These are the angels seen by the other women while Mary had hurried back to tell Peter and John of the empty tomb. Matthew and Mark mention only one of the angels, doubtless the one who was most prominent and who did the talking. It is frequently the case that one writer mentions only one of a number. In response to their question, "Woman, why weepest thou?" Mary expressed the deep sorrow of her heart, saying, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." She had no thought yet of his resurrection, and yet her greatest remaining pleasure was to embalm his lifeless body. She then doubtlessly turned to go back with the other women who were in advance of her. Evidently she had not heard the declaration of the angel to them that Jesus had risen. When she turned, she saw Jesus standing, but did not recognize him. He asked her the same question presented by the angels, "Woman, why weepest thou?" Supposing Jesus to be the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Her love and devotion she offered to bear away the body of Jesus with the additional weight of 100 pounds of spices wrapped in the clothes about it. Love knows no burdens. Jesus said to her, "Mary." He no doubt spoke her name with tenderness and sympathy and emphasis in his natural voice, so as to convince her at once that the desired body of her master stood before her alive. She had heard that voice too often to be mistaken, and at once cried out, "Rabboni," that is to say, "Teacher." Now that's where we're going to end the class today. Tune in and we'll be talking about the additional to this lesson, John chapter 20, verses 17 and 19.